Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Nimah. I remember Avram Goldar and Tirmah Sechus Yavamas Daf Tzadidah, the 10th Parak Isha Rabbah. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, and some say it was Rav Achu who said to Rav Ashi, that the following Mishnah is a proof that a single aid is believed to permit a Yavama to marry someone other than the Yavam. The Mishnah states, Ein Ishin Ne'emenes Lomar Meisim Vamishen Aseh. A woman is not believed to say, my Yavam died, that I might marry another. Since the Mishnah says that it's only the woman who's not believed, we may infer that a single witness is believed. After the Gemara refutes this, it teaches that the Mishnah needed to teach that a woman is not believed to say that a Yavam died to clarify the position of Rabbi Akiva. We might have thought that since Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Mamzer Mechayv Loving, that a Mamzer results from a relationship prohibited by a love, we can assume that the woman is afraid of being ruined and will be very careful about saying her Yavam died, and therefore she should be believed. Kamash Malan, that nevertheless she is not believed. Rashi explains that she might hate the Yavam and lie in order to be free from him, despite the risk of being subject to all the penalties and her children becoming mamzerim. Point number two, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Havali Rabbi Elazar Lamidrash Ben Marganis V'Darsh B'Chaspa. Rabbi Elazar Ben Masya could have darshaned a pearl from the Pasuk, and instead he darshaned a shard. What's the pearl? It was taught in a brace. The Pasuk states, and nor shall they, referring to Kohanim, take in marriage, Isha Grusha Me'isha, and a woman divorced from her husband. This implies, Afil Nizgarsha La Me'isha, even if she was only divorced from her husband, but was not permitted to another man, Pasula Kahuna, she is disqualified from marrying into the Kahuna. Rashi explains that this would be accomplished if the husband said to his wife, when he handed her the get, you're divorced from me, but are not permitted to any other man. Rashi explains that even though this get does not make her entirely divorced, if he were to die, she is permitted to remarry, but she would be forbidden from marrying a Kohen. The Braisa concludes, "Behind Recha get the possible Kahuna," and this is the scent of a get that disqualifies a woman for Kahuna. And pointing with you, next Mishnah states, "Misha halcha ishto mininus ayom." If one's wife traveled overseas and they came and told him that your wife died, and then he married her sister, and afterward his wife came back, the law is muteris lachzerlo. She, referring to his wife, is permitted to return to him, and he is permitted to marry the relatives of the sister, and the sister is permitted to marry his relatives. Rashi explains that the marriage to the sister is invalid and is considered nothing more than a znus relationship. The Gemara says that this ruling applies apagav de azo ishto vigiso midin seyam, even if his wife and his brother-in-law, meaning his wife's sister's husband, both traveled overseas, and he, after hearing of their deaths from a single witness, married the sister, and then his wife and brother-in-law returned. This marriage to the sister is effective in that it prohibits the wife's sister to his brother-in-law, yet his wife is permitted to him. And we do not say, mitoch shenasra eshes giso al giso, te'aser ishto alav, that since his brother-in-law's wife became prohibited to his brother-in-law, his wife should be forbidden to him. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, and some say it was Rav Acha who said to Rav Ashi, that the following Mishnah is a proof that a single witness is believed to permit a Yavama to marry someone other than the Yavam. The Mishnah states, Ein Ishin Ne'emenes Lomar Meisim Vamishen Aseh. A woman is not believed to say, my Yavam died, that I might marry another. Since the Mishnah says that it's only the woman who's not believed, we may infer that a single witness is believed. After the Gemara refutes this, it teaches that the Mishnah needed to teach that a woman is not believed to say that a Yavam died to clarify the position of Rabbi Akiva. We might have thought that since Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Mamzer Mechayv Loving, that a Mamzer results from a relationship prohibited by a love, we can assume that the woman is afraid of being ruined and will be very careful about saying her Yavam died, and therefore she should be believed. Kamash Malan, that nevertheless she is not believed. Rashi explains that she might hate the Yavam and lie in order to be free from him, despite the risk of being subject to all the penalties and her children becoming mamzerim. Point number two, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, Havali Rabbi Elazar Lamidrash Ben Marganis V'Darsh B'Chaspa. Rabbi Elazar Ben Masya could have darshaned a pearl from the Pasuk, and instead he darshaned a shard. What's the pearl? It was taught in a brace. The Pasuk states, and nor shall they, referring to Kohanim, take in marriage, Isha Grusha Me'isha, and a woman divorced from her husband. This implies, Afil Nizgarsha La Me'isha, even if she was only divorced from her husband, but was not permitted to another man, Pasula Kahuna, she is disqualified from marrying into the Kahuna. Rashi explains that this would be accomplished if the husband said to his wife, when he handed her the get, you're divorced from me, but are not permitted to any other man. Rashi explains that even though this get does not make her entirely divorced, if he were to die, she is permitted to remarry, but she would be forbidden from marrying a Kohen. The Braisa concludes, "Behinu reicha get the possible kahuna," and this is the scent of a get that disqualifies a woman for kahuna. And pointing with you, next Mishnah states, "Misha halcha ishto mininus hayom." If one's wife traveled overseas and they came and told him that your wife died, and then he married her sister, and afterward his wife came back, the law is muteres lachzer lo. She, referring to his wife, is permitted to return to him, and he is permitted to marry the relatives of the sister, and the sister is permitted to marry his relatives. Rashi explains that the marriage to the sister is invalid and is considered nothing more than a znus relationship. The Gemara says that this ruling applies apagav de azo ishto v'giso midin seyam, even if his wife and his brother-in-law, meaning his wife's sister's husband, both traveled overseas, and he, after hearing of their deaths from a single witness, married the sister, and then his wife and brother-in-law returned. This marriage to the sister is effective in that it prohibits the wife's sister to his brother-in-law, yet his wife is permitted to him. And we do not say, mitok shenesra eshes giso al giso, te'aser ishto alav, that since his brother-in-law's wife became prohibited to his brother-in-law, his wife should be forbidden to him. All right, so now we go to our siman daf tzadi dalet, and our standard siman is a hunter, tzad, a hunter. So here goes. A huntress whose testimony that her yavam died in a safari was disqualified by Beis Din was shocked to see a man give his wife a get while not permitting her to marry, when he had just recently married her after her sister, who was his wife, and his brother-in-law died in an overseas trip. Once again, it's slow motion. A huntress, that must be more daf tzadi dalet, hunter. A huntress whose testimony that her yavam died in a safari was disqualified by Beis Din, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the Mishnah needed to teach that a woman is not believed to say that her yavam died. To clarify the position of Rabbi Akiva, we might have thought that since Rabbi Akiva holds yesh mamzer mechayvi loving, that a mamzer results from a relationship prohibited by a love, a mechayshel kalkula v'daika, we can assume that the woman is afraid of being ruined and will be very careful about saying her yavam died, and therefore she should be believed. Kamash malam, that nevertheless she's not believed. Rashi explains that she might hate the yavam and lie in order to be free from him, despite the risk of being subject to all the penalties and her children becoming mamzerim. So, a huntress whose testimony that her yavam died in a safari was disqualified by Beis Din was shocked to see a man give his wife a get while not permitting her to marry. Which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that Rav Elazar ben Masya could have darshaned a pearl from the pasuk, and instead he darshaned a shard. What's the pearl? It was taught in a brayse. The pasuk states, "And nor shall they," referring to Kohanim, "take marriage, v'isha grushim isha, and a woman divorced from her husband." This implies, afil nisgarsha ela me'isha, even if she was only divorced from her husband, but was not permitted to another man, pasula kahuna, she is disqualified from marrying into the kahuna. Rashi explains that this would be accomplished if the husband said to his wife when he handed her the get, "You're divorced from me, but are not permitted to any other man." So, a huntress whose testimony that her yavam died in a safari was disqualified by Beis Din was shocked to see a man give his wife a get while not permitting her to marry, when he had just recently married her after her sister, who was his wife, and his brother-in-law died in an overseas trip. Which reminds us, the Gemara says that even if his wife and his brother-in-law, his wife's sister's husband, both traveled overseas, and he, after hearing of their deaths from a single witness, married the sister, and then his wife and brother-in-law returned, this marriage to the sister is effective in that it prohibits the wife's sister to his brother-in-law, yet his wife is permitted to him. And we do not say, mitok shenesra eshes giso agiso te'aser ishto alav, that since his brother-in-law's wife became prohibited to his brother-in-law, his wife should be forbidden to him. So once again, a huntress whose testimony that her yavam died in a safari was disqualified by Beis Din was shocked to see a man give his wife a get while not permitting her to marry, when he had just recently married her after her sister, who was his wife, and his brother-in-law died in an overseas trip. All right, now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Tzadi. So the simur Daf Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The tzedakah box. That must be more in Daf Tzadi. The tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, which reminds us, Rav Chisda attempts to prove shebeisin masen lakor davar min haTorah. The basin has the strength to uproot a Torah law from a case where a kohen intentionally threw tamei blood, where it was taught urhutza, the offering is not accepted, even though midaraisa it is, and this will lead the kohen to bring a second carbon, which is technically chulin, into the azara. The Gemara answers that lo hurtza means that it's not eaten by the kohanim, and suspending that is a shav al tase and is not considered a suspension of Torah law. So the tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, was taken to a navi bringing a one-time offering on a mountain, which reminds us, Rav Chisda attempts another proof from a braisa taught. The pasuk teaches regarding a true navi, Elav tishma'un, to him shall you listen, which teaches that even if he tells you to transgress one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, as Eliyahu did on Har Carmel, every case, according to the needs of his time, obey him. So we see from here the Torah permits suspending Torah law, even in the form of an act of transgression. Rabbi responded that here it's different, but the pasuk says, Elav tishmun, to him shall you listen, referring specifically to a navi. So the tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, was taken to a navi bringing a one-time offering on a mountain, who told him to bury it next to the lady whose two kohanim husbands didn't become tamei for her. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said that if a woman's first and second husbands were kohanim, neither this one or that one may become tamei by coming in contact with the corpse. The Gemara asks from where this is derived, and the answer is the pasuk states regarding who a kohen may become tamei for, ki moshe ero hakarove lav, except for his flesh, who is closest to him, and it was said, she'ero zo ishto, his flesh is a reference to his wife. But it's also written there, a husband among his people should not contaminate himself for one who desecrates him. So we can infer from these two psukim that there's a husband who comes tummy for his wife when she's a kashera, and there's a husband who does not become tummy for his wife when she's a pasula. And since this woman in our Mishnah is prohibited to her husband, who's a kohen, because of adultery, even when unintentional, he may not become tummy for her. Daf Tzadi Av. So the Simur Daf Tzadi Av is an exit sign. So here goes. The three lenient rabbis standing under the based in the exit sign. Exit sign? That must mean we're in Daf Tzadi Av. The three lenient rabbis standing under the Beis Din exit sign trying to figure out who agreed with whom, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, listing the penalties for a woman who remarried based on the testimony of a single witness whose original husband then reappeared, there are three lenient opinions. Rabbi Yossi said her first husband must pay his ksuba. Rabbi Elazar said the first husband is zoked to what she finds, her earnings, and is able to annul her vows. And Rabbi Shimon said yibum or chalitza by the brother of her first husband exempts her tzar from yibum and chalitza, and her child by the first husband is not a mumzer. On this stuff, Rav Huna said, Basrai modula kamai, kamai la modula basrai. The latter Tanaim agree with the former Tanaim, but the former Tanaim do not agree with the latter Tanaim. So the three lenient rabbis standing under the Beis Din exit sign, trying to figure out who agreed with whom, overheard a tsara walk out mumbling that she should have waited to see if the Avama was an Ilanis, which reminds us, the Gemara brings numerous challenges to the defense of what could she have done, and in each case, the Gemara answers there is something she should have done. For example, Rav Shimon bar Ashi brought the Mishnah, where one married his Yavama, and her tsar went and married someone, Venim says, Zo Ilanis, and the Yavama turns out to be an Ilanis. The tsar must leave her new husband and her Yavam, and she's penalized like the adulteress. Why is she penalized? Let us say, what should she have done? The Gemara answers, Iboy Lamtuni, she should have waited before remarrying until she knew a certainty that the Yavama was not an Ilanis. So the three lenient rabbis standing under the Beis Din exit sign, trying to figure out who agreed with whom, overheard a tzara walk out mumbling that she should have waited to see if the Avama was an Ilanis, while another woman sighed a breath of relief when she was told, we're not concerned about rumors after her second marriage that her first husband was still alive. Which reminds us, Rav Ashi said regarding a woman who remarried on the basis of single witness, but for a mere rumor that the first husband is alive, we're not concerned. The Gemara clarifies that even though Rav Ashi already taught this, that we're not concerned with any rumor about a woman's forbidden status which begins after marriage, Rav Ashi is coming to teach here that since a woman came to Beis Din for permission to remarry, and we granted her permission, we might have thought that it's considered like a rumor that began before her marriage to her second husband, since coming to Beis Din for a special dispensation means they consider the possibility their first husband's still alive, and the rumor after the marriage is merely substantiating that earlier concern. Rav Ashi's coming to teach that this is not so. The turtle specialist, that must be one Daf Tzadi Beis. The turtle specialist who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether a woman who marries Alpi Basin by the testimony of a single witness and then the original husband reappears, whether she's pater from bringing a chatas because she relied on the hora of Basin, or whether she would be high because Basin made a toast, a mistake. Similar to a Basin rule that the sun had already set and Shabbos was over, and people relied on that ruling and did malacha, and then the sun shone, proving Basin was wrong. Ein zo hara el tos. This is not a case of a wrongful ruling, but simply a mistake. Beis Din didn't rule the sun had set, rather they made a mistake on the sun's position. So the turtle specialist who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set was interrupted by his assistant who was divorced from her legal husband, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar ben Masya Darshan, the pasuk that states, Isha Gushmi Isha, and nor shall they, referring to the Kohanim, take a marriage of a woman divorced from her husband. This teaches that only a woman divorced from her legal husband is prohibited to a kohen. But lo me'ish she'eino isha, but not a woman divorced from a man who is not her husband. So the turtle specialist, who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set, was interrupted by his assistant, who was divorced from her legal husband, who came to inform him that his kedushin to a yavama wasn't tofes because he was a strange man. Which reminds Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the kedushin does not take effect with the yavama to someone other than the yavam, for it's written, Otia eshes ameis achutz l'ish zar, the wife of the deceased shall not be outside to a strange man, which implies, there cannot be any marriage to a stranger for. But Shmuel is suffic, whether the pasuk teaches kedushin is not tofes, or perhaps it means that there is a love not to marry another man, but if she did, kedushin would be tofes. Daf Tzadi Gimel, so the simmer Daf Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. On the train chugging along, that must be on Daf Tzadi Gimel. On the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which reminds us, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak listed a number of Amoraim and Tanaim who held, based on a chain of tradition that goes back to the generation of Akiva, that Adam Makna Davish Lo Ba'olam, a person contrasts with something that has not yet come into the world. Rav Huna ruled that a person can sell the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which Rashi explains is a case where the person made a kinyan during the rainy season in order to acquire the fruit that will emerge in the spring. So, on the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings an incident to show that Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Chiya both held that Adam Makna Davish Lo Ba'olam. Rabbi Yana had a sharecropper who would bring him a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos. One day, the sharecropper was delayed and didn't come at the usual time. Rabbi Yana, who was concerned that the sharecropper might not arrive before Shabbos, took fruit from his house as meiser for the fruit that would arrive on Shabbos. He later went and asked Rabbi Chiya if he had acted properly, and Rabbi Chiya said that he had. So, on the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi. Sitting next to a sad-looking single witness on his way to Basin to testify, a woman's husband was dead, which would require her to do Yibum. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshes was asked, Eidoch Rabbi Yavama Mahu, what is the din regarding the testimony of a single witness concerning a Yavama? Can Yibum be performed based on Eidos that her husband is dead? The Gemara presents both sides of the question. Is the reason we believe one witness to allow a woman to remarry based on the principle that people do not lie about any matter that's likely to be revealed? And if so, here too, we believe the witness. Or is the reason we believe one witness is Mishum Di'ihi Daika Minaspa, because she will investigate carefully before she remarries. But here, there are times that she might be attracted to her brother-in-law. She might not investigate carefully. Rav Sheshes answered that it can be demonstrated from a case in our mission that the aedus of a single witness requiring her to do Yibum would have been believed if it had not been refuted by a set of two witnesses. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, sharing a great day and great learning.